Go with me back to John 20. John chapter 20. Lord willing, next week, or the next time that we're in John, we will look at these verses that I just read in the scripture reading as our Lord recorded them. These are the events that happened after the resurrection. Everything I just read, those are the events that happened after our Lord's resurrection. If you look at John 19, verse 42, there laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. They laid our Lord in that sepulcher. And then John chapter 20, verse 1 says, he's not there. They went, and he's not there. So somewhere between those two chapters, our Lord was resurrected. Okay, he was actually resurrected. Tonight, I have some really good news. I mean, I have some really, really good news concerning the actual resurrection of our Lord, the physical resurrection of our Lord. This will be our text tonight. John chapter 20, verse 1 says, the first day. That's our text. The first day. May our Lord prepare us for this. This is glory. This is glory. Christ in us is the hope of glory. All right, we just sang about friends I have known and loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow, yet just a smile from my Savior I know. I can't believe I'm here. It's glory. I mean glory. Glory. Christ in us is the hope of glory. The first day. You know what I'm trying to get to? Him. He's my first day. The first day. In glory, there is no time. There is no time. There's no night and day and night and day. No time. It's just as he is, so are we. That's how it is in glory. As he is, so are we. All right, well, how is he? How is he? If as he is, so are we, how is he? Turn with me to John chapter 8. John 8, verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, that's I'm telling you the truth, I'm telling you the truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I love the use of his tense right there. Before Abraham was, I am. I am. Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God. God. Moses asked him the question, who should I say sent me? He said, you tell them, I am hath sent you. I am. He said in Malachi 3, I am the Lord, I change not. I don't change. I am. I just am. Hebrews 13 says, Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, forever, the same. Hebrews 11 says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is what?
I am.
I am. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1, look at verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. Now, he did not say, I was in the beginning and I will be in the end. He said, I am the beginning and I am the end. I am. Turn with me now to John chapter 11. John 11, verse 24. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now let me tell you what that's saying. Our resurrection has already happened. That's what it's saying. Our resurrection has already happened. I hope God raises me in the resurrection. He already has. He already did. All right, now let me give you some reality. I want to illustrate some reality to you. Lord willing, when this message is over, I'm going to finish preaching this message, and then I'm going to go get in my car. I'm going to drive to my house. I'm going to put some PJs on. I don't sleep in this suit. I know you always see me in this, but I'm going to put some PJs on. I'm going to relax on the couch for a little while. I'm going to go to sleep, and then I'm going to get back up tomorrow morning and come back to that study and start studying. Believest thou this? Do you believe I just told you reality? Well, you told me, you know, something spiritually that means something else. No, I just told you reality. I just gave you a piece of reality. That's what I pretty much do every Sunday night. In reality. Well, our Lord said, here's the reality of things. You want me to tell you the reality of things? Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Always remember this. The word shall is a powerful word in the scriptures. When God Almighty says, verily, verily, shall, you can bank on it. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? For a believer, there is no death to go through. There's no death to go through. Hebrews 9 says, it is appointed unto men once to die. One time. For a believer, when Christ said, it is finished. And when he gave up the ghost, that's when the believer died. That's when the believer died. Well, you're talking metaphorically. No, I'm not. I'm talking, did he die really? Yes. So did I. That was our death. Everything we just went through in John 19, we were describing our own death. It was me that committed all that sin. It was me that had to be judged by God. That was my death. That was my death. It was appointed unto us to have one death, and that was it. That was it. That was our darkness. That was our unknown beyond. You laid this body down, and where do people go? That was our unknown beyond. We have already died, and we have already risen. We've already risen. What about the believers who haven't been born yet? What about the believers who were born thousands of years before the Lord came and died on that cross? What about Abraham? What about Moses? What about David? If they were in Christ, those who were thousands of years before he came, if they were in Christ, they were in the end. He said, I'm the end. No, the believers who haven't been born yet, they're the ones in the end. Okay, all this time has happened, and Adam was the beginning. And then he's going to come back, and the trump shall sound, and that's the end. And those believers who haven't, they're in the end. No, if they're in Christ, they are in the beginning. They just are. We just are. In Christ, we are. He is, we are. Even though they have not been born yet, they've already died. They died in Him. And that's not fairy tale. That's not wishful thinking. It's reality, as real as I'm going to put on some PJs. They've already died. They've already risen. Our resurrection is not our resurrection. He is our resurrection. He said, Martha, quit talking about the last day. I am the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. He is our resurrection. And there is no more death to endure. Go with me to Matthew 22. This is where some Sadducees came to the Lord, and they don't believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees don't believe in it, so they were trying to trick him by asking him a question. Whose wife shall this woman be? She married seven brothers in the resurrection. Whose wife shall she be? Matthew 22, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. You remember a few weeks ago when we were looking at the mystery of godliness through the point of view of the angels, and Gabriel came to Daniel. He said, I'm Gabriel. And then 490 years later, he came to Zacharias and Mary. He said, I'm Gabriel. Same angel, 400. They just are. They just are. So he said, they're going to be as the angels of God in heaven. Verse 31, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Well, what's he talking about? All three of those men are dead. No, they're not. No, they're not. He's plainly telling us They are alive and well. Now, Esau may be dead, but Jacob's not. He's not dead. Well, you're talking about spiritually speaking. You're talking about all this other world stuff. No, I'm not. I'm talking about reality. Reality. Turn with me to Luke chapter 20. This is the same account we just read. Luke chapter 20, look at verse 34. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more. They can't. For they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. They cannot die. They cannot die. It is Christ that died. Neither can they die anymore. After he died, they cannot die anymore. Now, last Wednesday night, I made the statement that the children of Israel wept for 30 days in the plains of Moab after Moses died. And I'm going to keep making statements like that because our Lord did. He first said, Lazarus is sleeping. But the disciples didn't get it. So then he said, Lazarus is dead. Because they couldn't understand. It's our plain understanding of what happens when we lay a body down. You see a body lay down. It's how we rationalize it. They died. They just died. But Lazarus was not dead. He spoke to him. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He was not dead. And Moses did not die. If God wanted to, and I'm telling you reality, if God wanted to, he could send Moses right now to walk through that door right there and deliver whatever message God had for us. He could send him right now if he wanted to. He has done it before many times. Go to Luke chapter 9. Luke 9, look at verse 28. And it came to pass about in 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. There he is. There he is. There stood Moses, right there. People say things like this. Well, you know, in glory, you won't remember anything about this earth. That is not true. That's not true. You just won't have the sin you had on this earth. Moses and Elijah, two men. Elijah's the man who said, Lord, I'm all alone. Kill me. He said, Elijah, there's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee. Moses is the one who killed a man, fled for fear of Pharaoh, but then went through all those plagues, led his people out, sinned against God by striking the rock twice. God said, you can't go in. The man, Moses, there he is. Moses and Elijah We're standing in glory, it just said. That's why our Lord's countenance was altered and he was white and glistening. So he changed. He went back. And here stands now Moses and Elijah right there. And James and John and whoever, Peter, they're standing there and they're looking. And there they are right there, but they're in glory. And they were talking about everything that is going to happen in Jerusalem. Moses and Elijah were from glory, standing there talking about Jerusalem. So they know what's going on. They know what all this is about. All of them up there are crying unto him that loved us and washed us from unto the Lamb that was slain. Turn with me to Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 8 says, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets. And of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." He said, don't bow down to me. God sent one of the prophets back to preach to John. It might have been Elijah again. Here's my point. Jesus Christ is our resurrection. He's our resurrection. In him, death is finished. Death is finished. Well, he conquered death, but now you're still going to have to die. No, it's over. It's over. In him, all that a believer can do, all a believer can physically do, is live, move, and have his being. That's all he can do. It's just live, move, and have his being. He is. He just is. All right, well then why am I still going to funerals? If what I'm saying is true, why do I still attend funerals? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas," that's Peter, "then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time." Now look at verse 12. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If other people don't die, then it means Christ didn't rise. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, By man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now look at verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Now watch this. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. There's a natural body, and there's a spiritual body. The last funeral I went to was for Brother Maurice Montgomery. That's the most recent one I've been to. I walked up to the casket. I saw his body. It was an open casket. I saw his body. I recognized his face. I know that body. I've seen it many times. It's the same body that he walked around in for 70 years, however old he was. Okay, that was his body. At the exact moment that I was standing there looking at his body, he was in a body. Just not that body. At that exact moment, he was in a body, just not the one laying right there. Verse 50 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. That's why we still go to funerals. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I'm a new creature. Christ liveth in me. But I'm housed in a sinful body that's not allowed into glory. And I've got to get rid of this corruptible and slip on some incorruption. That's what has to happen. Our brother laid that body down, just like I can take this coat off right here. And then everybody can walk by, and they can say, I know that coat. I saw it many times. I recognize that coat. He just laid it down. That reality for him is as real as the reality I just did. Slip it on, slip it off. That really just happened. That just happened. Our brother experienced the reality. That really just happened. That just happened. What was a reality for me is a reality for him. Every believer is going to experience this reality. And when it comes, when the experience, when the fact is realized that there is no death, there is no death. If something was to happen and this finger right here got cut off, boom, and it fell right there and I picked it up and set it over there, I would not call myself dead. That's not attached to me anymore, but I'm not dead. When that experience is realized that for a child of God, there is no death. There's only a change to the incorruption of Christ. That's all it is. It's just a change to the immortality of Christ. When that reality takes place, every believer cries, O death, where is thy sting? Where's thy sting? It's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. I thought before that it would be like a shot. You're going to have to get ready. It's going to be hard times are coming. Prepare yourself. Tense up now. Because it's going to be like, oh! There is no sting. There is no shot. There is zero pain. O death, where's thy sting? Verse 55, O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I thought I was supposed to die. I thought I was supposed to be dead. Verse 56 says, the sting of death is sin. We're feeling the sting of sin right now. We're feeling that right now. It hurts. Verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is our life. Our life. Because he died, we died. We say it all the time. I died in him. And we think that means, we don't know what that means. What it means is, I died in him. I was separated to the dark beyond for 3 days. Because he died, I died. Because he arose, I arose. Because he lives, I live. Right now, beloved, we're the sons of God. We're already in the kingdom. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we have a brand new body. It looks just like his. Because he lives, we live, never to die again. There is no death coming. 70. Yeah, 70. You're going to get a brand new body. We are the children of the resurrection. We're the children of his resurrection. Resurrected unto eternal life. When he rose, that meant eternal life. For him and everything in him. Whosoever liveth and believeth in him shall never die. Believest thou this? I would like to. I do believe. Help my unbelief. But I do believe it. It's glory, isn't it? All right, let's stand together.